Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson, and we've got a great show planned for you today. We hope you're having a terrific Thursday. We are the AmeriChicks. Check out our website. There's all kinds of great information there. We're sleuths for truth, educating, inspiring, and encouraging people to engage. And how do we do that? By dissecting issues as looking at them as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. It's a very tall order, Molly. But in this day and age, with everything that's going on in America, it's a very important thing to be doing.
It sure is. And it's hard to get the truth sometimes. It feels like you tell me to turn it up, but I can't talk and do that at the same time.
Okay, when you're done.
So,
okay.
So there's so much going on in the news to keep watching, and it's going to be an interesting show. We're going to be talking about net neutrality and obviously certain regulations that the government puts into place against any businesses affects consumers. So we're going to be talking about that with FreedomWorks, Patrick Hedger from FreedomWorks, as well as Kelly Sloan. Let's talk a little bit about current events, and we'd love to hear from you as well. 303-632-4160. So one of the big deals I just wanted to mention to you, I'm not sure if you've heard of this or not. Did you know it's time for you to go out, cancel all your credit cards, order new ones, change all your passwords?
I think I know why.
So this could be the biggest data breach in U.S. history. Equifax, that does consumer credit scores, has everybody's personal information, name, social security number, credit card, driver's license numbers, everything,
the works.
They were hacked between May and June, and apparently up to 143 million consumers' information was stolen.
That's just half of the under half of the people in America. That's astounding. And it's interesting that you would mention this because I got something. Two of my kids had gotten jury summons. Now they had moved, and I guess apparently that hadn't caught up with the people that do the jury summons. But recently, here in Colorado, there has been different counties that have been hacked on jurors. And so we got something from the state of Colorado, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh, you know, I think this is probably bogus. Then I called, and definitely it had happened. This whole data thing is really, it's very scary.
It is scary, especially, you know, when we were talking about North Korea probably a few weeks ago, and one of the main guys came out and told everybody that he was one of the guys that was in charge of teaching their IT folks how to hack into systems like ours. Mm-hmm. And so it's just terrible that people work so hard to get our personal information. So get out there, protect yourself.
Right. I think we should probably find a growing our brands partner on that. You know, I've kind of haven't thought about really doing something official to protect my, you know, identity and all that. But I think maybe it really is time, or maybe we should start a new business doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good. But also just go ahead and get that credit card changed.
Get it done.
So another thing, talking about personal property being stolen or taken away from you and property rights, I am really curious. The hurricanes, obviously terrible, terrible. We had Harvey, mm-hmm. we've got Irma on the way, we've got the two more out there. And in the Virgin Islands, their governor, Governor Mapp, he gave emergency orders saying that the National Guard can go house to house to seize people's personal private guns and ammo ahead of the storm coming their way.
That is astonishing.
Why in the world is that allowed?
It isn't. It shouldn't be. You know, and so they're going to take the ammunition and guns of law-abiding citizens, which then would leave them as sitting ducks to people that are looters.
Yeah.
It's goofy.
No. So that doesn't make sense. U.S. Virgin Islands.
We've got a bunch of people in offices that just don't think.
Bizarre world. Get out of there. Okay. So speaking of offices and people that don't think, I'm kind of glad that right now we have a president in place that's not Republican establishment or Democrat establishment. Donald Trump is getting things done. And how is he doing it? Not by playing party politics. He sat down with the leaders of the House and the Senate, and he agreed to a deal with the Democrats to do an extension of the debt for the 3 months through to December, mm-hmm. and allow that to be tied to the Harvey relief. What do you think about that?
I think that Paul Ryan is pretty darn surprised. Mitch McConnell, I think they're all pretty darn surprised. And I really am liking this a lot. What Donald Trump's presidency has done, Molly, is it has pulled the veil off of what has been going on in Washington for a long time. These people have been going back to Washington. I think that they, they're not getting their work done. And we sent them there to represent the American people. And they've not been doing it. I think people have been getting more and more frustrated. They've been looking at the different policies, the rules, the regulations, the executive orders, all this kind of stuff. And I think that's why we sent Donald Trump to Washington, is because this whole thing is broken. They've been acting like it's not broken. And so, you know, I think he's kind of looked at it and he said, you guys have had, 8 months? And you've been goofing off. You haven't gotten anything done. And so we're going to get some deals done here because I care about the American people.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's funny. I think, yes, your Paul Ryan's head's going to explode. But but why in the world? But Paul Ryan was saying, well, let's go for 18 months. With 18 months to keep kicking the can down the road, why don't you get a budget in place? Why don't you guys come together and say, here's our tax reform. Here's our plan. Here's the budget going forward. What are you waiting so long for? Why would Republicans, who are supposedly conservative, take so long to get something done? They have the House. They have the Senate.
Right.
It's proving that they don't do what they're there to do, right. That they really don't care. I'm starting to think they really don't care.
Well, and what this message is Donald Trump has said, I want to get tax reform done. And tax reform, letting everyday middle America keep more money in their pocket, is going to jumpstart this economy. And I don't know why the Republican establishment, the leadership, is not like, let's get this thing done and get it taken care of. They've been dragging their heels. And I think that what Trump has done is he has said that we're going to get something going here and I'm going to get it done one way or another. You can either get on board or not. And I think all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute. I think he's really serious.
Yeah. If he's not going to do it with us, he's going to do it with somebody else. Just get it done. So talking about the tax reform. So, this week, yesterday, I believe President Trump was in North Dakota talking mm-hmm. about the tax plan. And he wants to put more money in workers' pockets. And that makes sense. It was the forgotten man and woman who actually voted for President Trump. People who, we've heard this in many different groups and pollsters and what have you, that said these were people that probably hadn't voted in quite a while. Mm-hmm. And they were just completely turned off by politics, which I get that. I am too. And just said, finally said, enough is enough. I'm getting squeezed so bad by all of the regulations and the taxes and the healthcare prices going up and everything because of what the government's doing. I'm going to vote for this guy mm-hmm. so we can get some deals done. So here's what we want to see with the tax plan. And I'm looking at an article just from CNN Money yesterday, but basically senior administration officials were saying, here's the goal, a lower individual tax bill, which is great.
Yay.
That's for all of us. That's
That
helps the middle and lower income groups.
Big time.
Does not help the wealthy. We get rid of tax simplification. We get rid of the loopholes because when you get
like
the
that.
Loopholes only work for the most wealthy and political elite because the only ones that know how to get around those.
Well, they're the ones that can hire the accountants and the attorneys to get around it. So loopholes really hurt the little guy.
Right. So the third thing that they're looking at doing with tax reform is lowering the corporate tax rate.
I like that too.
And that makes sense. So instead of all of these corporations going overseas to do their business and hire other people, then they can do that here in America because we won't be the highest corporate tax rate in the world.
Right. They can take that money and they can grow the business. They can pay workers more. And in essence, a corporate tax is really double taxation. You tax the corporation, then you tax the workers as well. So I think it would be great to get that lowered. In fact, I'd be all for getting rid of it myself. But I don't think they're all going to agree to that. But I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Well, let's get rid of the death tax, too, because how many times are you going to tax somebody?
Well, yeah. And, that's, again, it's about an American dream thing that somebody works and creates wealth. And then upon their death, should they be able to, decide where that money should go, or should government take that? And I agree. Let's get rid of the death tax as well. Let's just get rid of it all.
Yeah.
When we're talking
about
it.
Doesn't belong to the government. You can't steal my stuff. This is my property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the fourth thing they're talking about with the tax reform is returning the overseas corporate profits. So let these people bring that money back one time, do a one-time tax on it. It looks like some people are saying it might be taxed at around 35% plus or minus any tax already paid on those profits to another government. So they're going to
be taxed one time. Pretty high.
That's a lot of money, and that would be a lot of money to come back into our country.
Yeah, that still seems high to me.
Yeah, but I think it's a nice idea to say, let's get this money back in America. Because it's going to do more for us here. It's going to do more good for us here.
Right. It makes no sense to have a tax policy where people are keeping that money offshore. So, yeah, I think it's pretty creative. I think the message today is, hey, guys, we're going to get this done. There's not going to be any sitting on your thumbs here. We're going to get this done. I'm going to get it done one way or another. You didn't get it done on health care. I learned my lesson. I'm not a political insider, but I learned my lessons. I learned them fast. And so we're going to go at this a little differently. And I think Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are like, what happened?
Well, I think it'll be a huge shock to them. Like, ooh, we better get into the game. We better actually like get our A game on and get in there and start negotiating deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people want answers and results. And you look at the new healthcare rates that just came out.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, people, you know, when President
27%
Obama
here in Colorado
said you can keep your plan, you can keep your doctor, everybody's going to have, you know, $2,500 less per year
just
in cost.
Kidding.
Just kidding. But it's time to do something about that. And I thought the Republicans were going to do it. But you know what? If they can't, then maybe President Trump, who's not really Republican or Democrat, can get it done. Be a pragmatist. Work on what you need to do to get something done for us. Please. We hired you. We pay you. Do your job. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees, active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, September 1st, the features at 88 Drive-In will include Annabelle, Creation, Atomic Blonde, Dunkirk, and Exit. Box office opens at 6 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m. Sunday through Thursday. Admission includes all features. The pizza special runs Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas all for $11. The pizzas are served fresh and hot from their oven. They are a staff favorite. May they suggest a warm funnel cake for dessert? They have added a fifth topping. Try their Fluffernutter Funnel Cake. What's a Fluffernutter Funnel Cake? It's a delightful mix of marshmallow cream and peanut butter topping. Yum.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there. We are the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter. And our phone call-in number is 303-632-4160. Great show today. We are going to be talking about something that is very important, net neutrality. And what the heck does that mean? We've talked about it before. And so if you've heard that show, you'll kind of understand that. But we have Kelly Sloan in studio with us. He is a policy expert. And then we have on the line with us Patrick Hedger with FreedomWorks, who has really been on the front line on this very important issue. So, Patrick Hedger, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Well, good. Looking at information for this particular show, you had done a piece back in July regarding comments supporting the FCC's Title II rollback. Is that what it's called?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what's going on. What's at stake here?
Well, essentially, back in, I believe it was late 2014, the FCC began instituting rules known as the Title II rules or net neutrality. And what Title II is referring to is Title II of the Communications Act of 1934. And essentially it gave FCC the power to regulate internet service providers. So the people you pay your cable bill to, gave FCC the power to regulate them as common carriers or public utilities. And essentially, by regulating ISPs as under Title II, it opened the door to price controls, dictating where and when investments could be made, and various practices that ISPs could engage in. And ultimately, what you were looking at is why we have opposed it is it's essentially central planning of the internet by Washington bureaucrats, and That's sort of the crux of the argument here, is who is better to regulate the internet, the ISPs, consumers, the free market, or central planners in Washington. And I think the historical case is pretty strong on the side of the market.
You know, Patrick Hedger with FreedomWorks, one of the main questions is why would, the Obama administration, they did this through the FCC, through rules and regulations, in essence, try to take over the internet, do centralized planning. So to the everyday person out there, why does this matter and why would they try to do that?
Well, it's sort of the MO of the progressives that they prefer government planning and centralized control, and they trust government more than corporations. And ultimately, the thing is well-intended as net neutrality and Title II are, the ultimate problem is everything that comes along with government central planning of this sort, is the lack of information, essentially freezing the internet as it is today and locking that in, which dissuades innovation, dissuades new market entrants. We've seen this, history has repeated itself in terms of government regulation of public utilities and major companies and markets. I mean, dating all the way back to the advent of the major railroads, the government regulated the railroads as common carriers. They regulated the airlines, the electric industry, the telephones, and all that happened with this government regulation was there were a few big monopolies that were allowed to compete with each other within these government rules, but it thwarted innovation. You didn't see a drop in prices. There weren't the sort of competitive pressures that you see in a free and open market. So essentially, it's just a misunderstanding of how the market works that leads to this type of regulation.
Okay, Patrick Hedger, I'm going to ask you about municipal broadband. I sat on city council for 4 years. I'm no longer on city council of our little community. And we had seen a real movement here in Colorado, and really, in essence, using public policy and using public dollars to push forward municipal broadband. And this is in the metropolitan area. They're also talking about it in the rural area also. But as I really thought about it, it's like we are taking public dollars, we're using public policy to push forward a municipal broadband, that then it becomes in the vested interest of the municipality to make sure that that stays in business, which I thought ultimately could reduce competition and reduce innovation. So what would you say?
Oh, you're exactly right about that. I mean,
yay!
These are all ideas that sound great, right? Who could be against, free internet for everybody and, we're going to go after the big bad internet companies. But ultimately, when you have government controlling these types of economic programs, I mean, look at Amtrak, right? Look at most of the subway systems in this country. They're not exactly models of innovation and customer service. I mean, I'm here in the D.C. metro area, and there are countless blogs out there dedicated to how terrible our metro service is, and so you have these services that the government can provide, but they ultimately don't They aren't subject to the type of competitive pressure that you see in other industries, right? Grocery stores are great because they have to compete with lots of other grocery stores in the area. But if the government monopolizes something, there's no competitive pressure to offer the best customer service at the best possible price. That's left up to bureaucrats. That's left up to elected officials. And frankly, their track record of regulating things in consumer interests is just not that great.
Okay. Kelly Sloan is in studio with us. He had gotten caught in traffic, which happens a lot here in Colorado, but that is a conversation for another day. So Kelly Sloan, he's a policy expert. Why don't you weigh in on this as well?
Well, I think, first of all, thank you, Mr. Hedger, for your comments. I think you were spot on everything you mentioned. To get back to your initial question of why did they do it? Why did they put the internet into Title II and regulate it as a public utility? Mr. Hedger was absolutely correct. It was really a solution in search of a problem. This whole idea of net neutrality, the concept, which is valid enough, is that ISPs should not be able to throttle back or block content, and that's what the whole idea of net neutrality is. They're going after the ISPs and saying, look, you guys can't block certain content. Their thought is that ISPs would do so for commercial reasons. That if I paid, Comcast a whole bunch of money, that, my stuff would get through on the web faster than yours would if you didn't pay them a bunch of money. Problem is, that's never happened.
But maybe that is okay?
Well, maybe that would be okay. But the thing is, that's never happened. To anybody's recollection, no ISP has ever actually throttled back anybody's data or blocked sites that they just don't like, or that they, try to be the internet policeman for whatever reason. And quite simply, because if they did, they would be slaughtered on the marketplace. I mean, it wouldn't take very long for example, if Google was being discriminated against by Comcast, it wouldn't take very long for Google to get out on all over the place and say, I shouldn't beat up on that this particular ISP is restricting my free speech rights. Now, here's the ironic thing about that. Why is nobody going after Google, Facebook, Twitter?
You were just reading my mind.
And YouTube.
Reading my
mind. Exactly. Why is this war on the ISPs when that's never happened? It's a solution in search of a problem. I think Mr. Hedger was right that they are using that as an excuse to bring in more government control. And by the way, if you're worried about censorship, why would you invite more government control into something?
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Well, and if we don't have, if the government isn't involved in the internet and regulating it like a utility, there would be more options.
Didn't Al Gore invent it?
But yeah, okay. he's not the president anymore, or vice president anymore. So there you go. Take your internet and give it back to us. But if there's less regulation, then there's going to be more internet service providers out there, and so there's always going to be one for everyone. So if they say, well, we're gonna be anti farmers, okay, then I'm gonna go to this internet service provider over here that's for farmers, and there's just choice. But isn't this also? I want to know about the subsidies the government is giving. Are they giving subsidies to the internet service providers?
I'm not sure if they are, at least not directly.
I do know that, and Patrick, you jump in here too. It's always interesting when we have somebody on the line. But there has been a real movement to subsidize at least broadband service in the rural areas.
Yeah, at the municipal level, which generally has ended up being a disaster in places like Utah and California where it's been tried. It ends up, you have this little government-run monopoly that eventually the taxpayers end up being on the hook for it. Maybe Mr. Hedger can weigh in on that a little bit more.
So, Patrick, your thoughts?
If you're concerned about government subsidies in relation to the internet marketplace, you should oppose net neutrality, because ultimately that is the biggest subsidy there is for the big guys that are out there delivering that are creating the internet traffic, right? You look at the reason why the Amazons, the Googles, the Facebooks, the Netflixes of the world love net neutrality is because they're the ones putting the most weight on the internet bridge, right? And so if you think of the internet like a bridge and there's a toll booth, right, you wouldn't charge semi-trucks the same as motorcycles, right, because the semi-trucks are putting more weight on the bridge. Well, that's the same. The Amazons and the Facebooks of the world are the semi-trucks, and they don't want to be charged more than the motorcycles. And what net neutrality says is basically you can't do that. You can't charge by weight. which is ridiculous, because if you look at anywhere else in the market, you look at the logistics market, FedEx, UPS, they're not going to charge you the same for a 50-pound package as they charge you for an envelope or something that needs to be there tomorrow versus something that needs to be there 2 weeks from now. There's all sorts of paid prioritization that occurs. You know, it hasn't really occurred, you know, Kelly is completely right that it hasn't really occurred on the internet. And there's no example of this or the sort of throttling that they threaten. But this type of market prioritization and pricing system occurs everywhere else in the market, and it works just fine. So there's no really real reason to be scared of it, in addition to the fact that we haven't seen any of it actually occurring.
Okay, Patrick, I'm trying to, you know, drill this down. So what you're saying is that we have the big guys, which have been using, again, government rules and regulations to, in a way, almost keep the little guys out, or the big guys have a price
specialty.
They have an advantage, mm-hmm. and they will continue to have that advantage as long as net neutrality is in effect. And so once again, we are seeing the big guys using public policy and the public purse to kind of keep the little guys out. Would you say that's, am I hearing you right?
Well, yeah, that's true to a certain extent. The market forces under net neutrality favor the larger internet companies. We're talking about the content providers, not the actual internet service providers. Mm-hmm. So the Netflixes versus the Comcasts, right? The Netflix uses a disproportionate amount of the bandwidth every day in the United States. It's some double-digit percent that they actually use of all internet traffic in the United States. And essentially, under net neutrality, in the future, they could never be charged more based on the fact that they're using more of the resource. The government shouldn't shut that door to allow for the internet service providers to prioritize content and make sure that everybody can access everything they want to. Because basically, look, if you've got one company that's taking up all the lanes of the bridge, you're going to block the smaller guys. You're going to mm-hmm. block other content from getting through. And so if people are really worried about accessing their favorite websites, net neutrality isn't going to help them when you have the Amazons, the Facebooks, and the Googles, and the Netflixes dominating all the lanes of traffic.
And if you look at who the who is this pushing the opposition to, you know, the current FCC director's efforts to take the internet back out of Title II, put it back in Title I where it belongs, and legislative efforts, which we may talk about after the break, to kind of deal with this legislatively where it belongs, not as opposed to executive fiat. Mm-hmm. It is the Googles, the Facebooks, the Netflixes, people like that.
Okay, well, we have Kelly Sloan in studio with us and Patrick Hedger with FreedomWorks on the line. We're talking about net neutrality, which really will affect your life all day long. And so this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
A couple in Connecticut decided to let their kids walk home from school alone every day, like many of us did growing up. But nowadays, people are so worried about overprotecting children that somebody called the police, and the parents are now charged with a crime. But these parents are fighting back. They're part of a new movement called Free Range Parenting, an effort to raise future independent adults. We all want children to feel safe, but good citizenship also requires that they become self-reliant. Looking through the lens of liberty, we see that America only remains free if we all take responsibility for ourselves and our children, not rely on the government. Do we really want free-range chickens but cooped-up kids?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there. If you want to call in about net neutrality, the phone number is 303-632-4160. Before we get back to that, Molly and I love entrepreneurs. And one of the great entrepreneurs that is one of our Growing Our Brand partners is Alliance Insurance Services. They're located right here in Colorado, and Jeremy McCallum and his team over at Alliance Insurance Services can help you with all of your insurance needs, whether or not it's home, auto, your toys, life, the whole thing. And they can certainly craft something that is individual for you. So their phone number is 303-431-9351, and their website is insuranceincolorado.net. So reach out to Jeremy McCallum at Alliance Insurance Services. He and his team can certainly help you out with anything that you need. Again, that phone number is 303-431-9351, and be sure and tell him that you know the AmeriChicks.
Awesome. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and we have in studio with us Kelly Sloan with Sloan Associates, and on the phone, Patrick Hedger, who's the Foundation Program Manager with FreedomWorks Foundation. And we're talking about net neutrality, which basically under the executive, President Obama, the internet was turned into a public utility. And so, Kelly Sloan, you were talking about you want a fix legislatively. Tell us what that looks like.
Right. Well, I think one of the biggest issues amongst all this was that it was done through executive order, through executive fiat, through an agency, as opposed to the legislature, which, as we've all talked about before, is the branch which is supposed to, hence the name, legislate.
Ah, so, that's why they call it legislature.
There was a reason for the to their madness of the founders. So there are some plans in the works right now for some bipartisan legislation to deal with the whole situation. I think that needs to include three things. First of all, the most important part is it has to be legislative. It cannot be executive. Legislature has to deal with this. The Congress has to deal with this. I think any legislation coming out of there has to codify the regulation in Title I and keep the regulation internet in Title I, regulate it as lightly as necessary, and keep it out of Title II. You can do that legislatively. The problem, if you don't do that, is that, of course, right now with Chairman Pai at the FCC, he's doing the right thing. He's moving the internet back out of Title II of the Communications Act. Well, in a few years or a decade or two, when we have another Democratic administration, which we will in my lifetime, it's going to go right back in Title II if this isn't fixed legislatively. Right. So
this is an opportunity. Again, right. These guys need to act, Molly.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just that it's going to go back into Title II and then, you know, all the problems like Mr. Hedger outlined that, you know, will befall the internet, but it's that kind of yo-yoing back and forth. You know, is it 1 year it's in Title I, what's going to happen to it next year? You know, that takes away any certainty that, you know, the internet companies, the businesses that grow up around the internet, have. So it needs to be set in stone, so to speak. And I think it does have to address the concept of net neutrality. The ironic thing is a lot of the internet service providers, in fact, all of them, say they have no problem with the original concept of net neutrality, i.e. that sense that an ISP can't arbitrarily throttle back or block content on its own accord. You know, it's a free speech argument. You know, if the internet is speech, it is a speech medium, then it should be fairly free. People get, the ISPs get that, and they have no desire to, you know, play policeman on the net.
Plus, they lose money if they play favors for one over the other, and who would turn away money?
Well, exactly. And it's the market. Mm-hmm. So again, that's a question for the elected representatives and senators to deal with, not the executive branch, not the agencies. And the other thing is, if this isn't dealt with legislatively, it's just going to keep coming back as this dagger that can be used by left to try and move the internet into more of a government realm, more tightly controlled by the government.
Yeah, how's that working out in North Korea and China? It's not,
exactly.
So we don't want to go there.
So let's deal with it. And I guess a fourth. It does have to be bipartisan, I think. Mm-hmm. We can get into more of this.
Let's let Patrick jump in here. Any comments on that? And then I have a question regarding the pushback of kind of the left encouraging people to make comments regarding this change. So first of all, any comments to what Kelly was saying, Patrick Hedger?
Well, I think he's definitely on the right track. I would just add that the legislation still, you know, it does need to be a legislative fix. You're totally correct about that. Because as he said, the worst thing for businesses, right? I mean, you could even talk about tax rates. You know, the worst thing for business is not a really high tax rate. It's the fact that taxes keep changing and they don't know what they're going to be dealing with 10 years down the road. Right. And that's the same thing that applies to government regulation. If you keep changing the rules, businesses are going to freeze and you're not going to see any of the type of investment that you want and building out broadband and making sure people get access to high speed Internet. Ultimately, though, net neutrality in principle is good, but it also you need to make sure that the legislation, any legislation that gets proposed, still allows flexibility for Internet service providers to manage their networks. And really, this principle that all internet traffic is equal, I don't subscribe to, because I don't see a voice over internet 911 call, which is internet traffic, the same as internet pornography, right? If we're going to prioritize traffic, the network should be able to make sure that in times of disaster, the 911 calls are getting through, and then some of the other things can take a back seat. So the net neutrality, in its rawest sense would essentially prohibit internet service providers from treating packages of data differently. And that's just not the case. I mean, again, if you want an example of this, you look at FedEx, right? Not all packages are created the same. Some are heavier, some are lighter, some need to be there tomorrow. Some don't, some are perishable, some are fragile, some are not, right? The same thing applies to internet data. Some is sensitive. Some is not. And so really, while we want to make sure that these internet service providers are not going out of their way to block lawful content, we also need to make sure that they can manage their networks. But I'm happy to answer the question that you had.
Okay, well, actually, you brought up another comment, and then I have another question. But if I remember right, as you were starting to bring this to the attention of the American people, and once there is a rule out there, individual citizens can make comments, correct? There's a period where they can make comments on whether or not they think it's a good idea or a bad idea. Yes?
That's correct. That comment period actually just closed last week.
Okay. And so you came out and brought this to the attention of the American people, and it seems like there was some like late night host or some comedian that came out and was really encouraging people to make comments in favor of keeping the Title II designation of net neutrality, which I don't think probably a lot of people even understood that. So what happened exactly with all that?
So it's been a mess. You know, the FCC has been bombarded by a lot of spam comments, fake comments. I believe the final docket tally was 22 million. We've heard from sources inside the FCC that essentially if you filter out the comments that they know are spam, the ones that are coming from foreign IP addresses, the ones that don't have adequate information, so you got to actually submit your name and contact information, not Mickey Mouse or Elvis Presley, to submit a comment. If you filter out those, the majority of the comments actually are in support of what the FCC is doing, which is rolling back Title II. But certainly, they did get a huge surge of comments from John Oliver, who's the late night host on comedian on HBO.
Okay, fascinating. Okay, oh, did
well,
you?
I was just going to say that sounds an awful lot like what the left does on environmental reviews, reviews for oil
comments
and gas.
And,
the environmental impact statements. That's open for a public comment period.
Okay.
For example, I remember the one with an oil shale a few years back, and they were bombarded by Sierra Club and Wild Earth Guardians and all these groups with hundreds of thousands of comments. Most of them were form letters. So BLM actually did one thing right, and they said, look, a form letter counts as one comment. I don't care if 2,200 of you sent in the same form letter. That's one comment. But they do the same thing there. And yes, it was John Oliver. He tried organizing an internet protest. I actually did a column the day that he was going to do that, urging he was going to have Google and Facebook and Twitter, everything people use have these banner ads about how horrible it is, so what Chairman Pai and the administration are doing to the internet and the end of the world.
I saw something come across that day. That was interesting. I can't remember exactly what that was.
Well, there were most people missed it. It was, which is kind of funny. I did recommend in my column, though, that you know, a lot of these companies are initially going to partake in this should probably sit back and think of where they would be if they had put in these kind of rules when they were still nascent companies.
But
of course they don't.
But they want to keep out competition now that they're there, which is it's so frustrating.
And then
so,
you've got the big guys like Amazon who they're getting all the benefits here. So I'm sure they're probably spending a lot of money lobbying down in D.C. to make sure that we don't take net neutrality out of Title II.
They are.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick Hedger, can you stay on through the break? This conversation is so fascinating. We only have a few more minutes afterwards, but I've got a couple other questions for you. Is that possible?
Sure thing.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Stick with us.
Yep.
We'll be right back. It's the Americhicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the Americhicks program, email us at americhicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, at americhicks@gmail.com. That's the americhicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at americhicks.com.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the Americhicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Dissecting issues is right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And I think we're getting to the right thing here on net neutrality with Kelly Sloan and Patrick Hedger. But Molly, I have to tell you, when I came in today, I turned my computer on and it wasn't initially doing what I wanted it to do. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Evan, your IT guy is going to be live here in about 10 days. And I'm thinking, great, evanyouritguy.com. They have all these professionals that can help you with all of your IT needs. And they're really focusing on small businesses, which is what we are. I mean, we are entrepreneurs from the boots up.
Yeah, we do. And it sure helps to have somebody that's a professional that can help you in the many different ways. And IT is one of the biggest needs out there. And also, evanyouritguy.com is looking for veterans to hire. So if you know any veterans out there that are IT guys, hook them up with evanyouritguy.com. And then lastly, go to the website and go under Discover Free Webcam Cover, fill out the form, give them your mailing address, say the Americhicks sent you, and they'll give you a free webcam cover for your computer. And that's awesome. Since we're talking about the hackers that got into Equifax and took 140-something million people's personal information, you know, one more way to protect yourself is with a camera cover. Evan, your IT guy.
Good idea. So, evanyouritguy.com. This has been a fascinating show. Kelly Sloan, thank you for kind of bringing this up again. And Patrick Hedger, it is just fascinating to have you on the line. And I'm kind of moving over to a bigger question on censorship. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, really a free internet. When we see what's going on in America right now with the taking down of statues and the censoring of things, I was thinking about it this morning. It's like, if we take down the statues and take out all the stained glass windows of anybody that has done anything wrong, there's not going to be anybody standing because we all have something that we have done. And so I'm just really concerned about censorship overall in America. Is that something that you'd like to talk about at all, Patrick Hedger?
Well, ultimately, I would just say that, you know, if you're worried about censorship, I think Kelly nailed this point. You don't put the internet in the hands of the government. The government is the only one that is ultimately has an interest in censoring information. If there's a strong market demand for information, then the market will meet it. Then it's the incentive of the internet service providers and the content providers to provide you with that information. And if the government has control over it and is allowed to say what's permissible and what's not, then you're going to find a whole heck of a lot is going to be omitted from your search records. I think Kelly just nailed the point. And I don't have much more to add than that.
Okay. Patrick, what about the things going on with, say, like a Google or a Facebook, where they're saying that some content may not be uploaded? Or we'd heard that Dennis Prager, who does these Prager University videos on YouTube, that some of those are being deemed, censored or whatever. Do you have any comments about that, Patrick? And then we'll have you weigh in on that, Kelly.
Well, if you look at it, you have Google and Facebook, major advocates for net neutrality, not practicing what they preach. They are prioritizing certain content on their infrastructure. And frankly, as a free market advocate, I don't care what they do. If they want to do that, that's fine. It's up to us to seek out alternatives.
Got it. Okay.
So if you're not seeing the video content that you want to see,
start a new company.
Don't use YouTube.
Right.
Yeah. Don't use YouTube. Go to Vimeo. Don't use Facebook. Go to some other social media site. Go to the blogs. Don't use Google. Use Bing. Let the market work.
Yes. Great idea. Okay, Kelly.
I agree. I think I'll return the compliment. Mr. Hedger hit that point right on the head. That what really bothers me about the opposition from Google and Netflix and all these big companies is the hypocrisy. You know, and there was a good article in an op-ed in Wall Street Journal a few days ago. I wish I'd brought it in. Which kind of took them to task for doing exactly what they are ascribing to the ISPs, the same kind of evils in terms of throttling back. And if you really want to look at who has greater control over internet content, is it an ISP or is it somebody like Google? I mean, how much of a monopoly really is Google? Nobody Bings anything or Yahoos anything. They Google things. I mean, I'll give the company credit. They built up their company on their own and everything. But I think they do have something of a responsibility to, if they're going to preach about being the arbiters and the protectors and the guardians of free speech when it comes to reining in the ISPs, which have done nothing wrong, shouldn't they hold themselves to the same standard?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if they are.
I found it interesting that they are being referred to now by many of them in the investment community as FANG. That's Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google. So that's FANG. I thought you guys might want to know that. Okay,
yeah,
Patrick.
Well, it makes sense to group them because, as I said, they dominate internet traffic. Some nights, I believe Netflix on its own is upwards of 75% of all internet traffic in the U.S.
Well, that is astounding. You know, and there's so many, I mean, there's really a lot of good things in all of that. I mean, there's a lot of freedom for people. And I think that, as Kelly mentioned, kind of the hypocrisy of trying to shut down freedom. I mean, I'm like you. I always want to come down on the side of free markets. If you don't like what's going on, use something different. I mean, I think that consumers ultimately will demand some competition for these four big guys at some point.
Oh, absolutely. And if these companies are competition in and of themselves to previous status quos that people were unhappy with. People didn't like cable. People didn't like Blockbuster. So what happened? Netflix, right? And people didn't like MySpace. So they got Facebook. And so these are disruptive forces in and of themselves. And nothing means and they are no more permanent to this world than their predecessors. And so that's what people need to keep in mind.
You know, Patrick, that's a really interesting point because I do remember Blockbuster. You know, I mean, it was such a big thing. And I remember, and this was shortly before the competition started to come in, that I'd gone to Blockbuster and they had moved away from customer service. They actually didn't care and they seemed like they didn't care about me. And so whenever those kinds of things happen, I think it does set the stage for a competitor to come in. And you see kind of that's happening here.
Facebook set its own stage recently where there's allegations that they're inflating the numbers as far as their advertisers reach. And so that's going to upset their customers, and the customers are going to look to put their ad dollars elsewhere. Let the market work. It's very responsive. It's far more responsive than government regulators.
Okay, we're all shaking our heads. So
I agree.
We agree.
So Kelly, why don't you give us a final thought, and then Patrick, we'd like a final thought from you, and we're just about out of time. So,
well, I think the one thing I want to stress here is that, like most things, this needs to be handled legislatively, not through executive fiat. One of my biggest complaints during the Obama administration was his overuse of the executive order. quite frankly, it's something I regret at some points with the current administration as well, when the executive order is overused in lieu of legislative solutions. There's a reason we have these branches of government, and issues like this one, which are, you know, so critically important to our economy and to our society in general, need to be addressed properly by the system we have in place, not be left to the whim of a federal administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Kelly, I love what you mentioned earlier as well, is that executive order can be overturned by the next president that comes in. If you get it through legislatively, it's a law that people can rely on, they can look forward to, they can believe that that's going to be there in the future, and then innovation really can work because we're steady and secure in what the future is going to have.
Yeah, it gives business that certainty to be able to adapt and grow and plan and look forward.
Right. So final words from you, Patrick Hedger with FreedomWorks.
Yeah, I would just say, if people are still confused about the concept of net neutrality, think of the internet like a grocery store. The internet service provider is the store itself, and all of your favorite websites are all the products on the shelves. You wouldn't want the federal government coming in and telling that grocery store that they had to carry a certain type of ice cream, certain type of potato chips, certain type of bread, and at certain prices. So you wouldn't want that for the internet as well.
I thank you for drilling that down in everyday people's language. I really appreciate that. Patrick Hedger, a great conversation today. We greatly appreciate it. So thank you so much. And we'll have you back when we've got another big issue that we need to talk to you about. So thank you so much. That's Patrick Hedger with FreedomWorks. Okay, great.
Thanks.
And Kelly Sloan, thank you. You continue to be on the forefront of a lot of different issues out here. And we appreciate you letting us know about that, so that it really makes us think. And I think it makes our listeners think, and I think it makes us all smarter.
Well, I certainly hope so. You and I were both at an event this morning focusing on school board elections and, mm-hmm. and education. I was thinking on the way in here while stuck in traffic, not downplaying this issue, of course, how important this is, but, you know, the more and more I dig into policy issues and, you know, think about some of these issues, more important I think education is. And I mean,
I'm with you on that.
I'm getting a little bit into the weeds here, but we're raising a entire generation, I fear, that doesn't know how to think, has never been exposed to having to need to think, and I regret that deeply.
You know, critical thinking is in a way, it's almost inherently American. We had on a World War II vet recently who was in a bridge too far. You know, he was in that particular situation. That's where I think Montgomery, who was the British commander, wanted to push on. And I think our guys were at a bridge where the British commanders hadn't gotten there yet. Okay. And so there was a conversation between the Americans and the British. And the Americans are like, we need to go ahead and take this bridge right now. And the Brits said, we have to wait until we hear this from our commanders. And so in all that, our guys wanted to act. The Brits didn't. They were waiting for somebody to kind of, and our guy said they're great fighters. But because of that decision, there's something inherently American about critical thinking, I think. And we need to make sure that we pass that on in the next generation.
Well, and I think it's not only critical thinking, but it's leadership and taking, you know, and taking ownership and moving forward with what you think is right rather than waiting for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Totally
great.
True. And well, that's, and I love also that we're talking about these issues that we're talking about. It's not right versus left. You know, Kelly Sloan, you said that there's probably going to be bipartisan support for this to get this whole net neutrality deal into a Title I and out of Title II.
Right.
And that's great, because that means that people are actually sitting down and thinking. It's not like, oh, we're playing a political game here. It's literally what's going to make all of these internet service providers more competitive and able to offer more opportunity to more people for less price. It's going to be get the government out of the way.
Yeah. You know, kind of to that point, you know, the bipartisan point, I got a fair bit of flack quite a few weeks ago when I praised John McCain's speech in the Senate. Of course, I deplored his vote subsequent to that.
Yep.
But
ditto.
I thought he did. I thought his speech, though, I don't know either of you heard it or saw it. I thought a lot of that was very bang on. What he was getting at was how we, as a society and a nation and a polity, have seemed to have gotten away from, you know, that kind of backbone, you know, the basis for of which we
of who we are
of who we are and what we've inherited from built this system. And the more we kind of discard the system and discard the institution and everything that's come before, that doesn't really make us any better than the left that wants to just destroy everything.
It doesn't. We stand on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly.
We have a responsibility. So, Kelly Sloan, thank you so much for being in studio with us. And Patrick Hedger, it was great having him on. I decided to choose Frederick Bastiat from The Law Today. It said, as long as it is admitted that the law may be diverted from its true purpose, that it may violate property instead of protecting it, then everyone will want to participate in making the law, either to protect himself against plunder or to use it for plunder.
So let's make the laws work for all of us, protect all of us, and enforce them. This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT, Denver's only money talk radio. We're here every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Tune in tomorrow. It's World War II Day. Have a great night.